ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 72 टेक्स्ट 12। श्री शुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद् गीतम् प्रीता फुल्ला मुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये अयुङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्भुजः प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्भुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान् विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेजोपब्रह्मितान्। माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच निशम्य भगवद्गीतम् प्रीतफुल्लमुखाम्बुजः भ्रातृन् दिग्विजये युङ्क्ता विष्णु तेज पब्रह्मितान। श्री शुक उवाच। श्री शुक सेड, निशम्य हियरिंग भगवत ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, गीतम द सॉन्ग, प्रीता प्लीज्ड, फुल्ला ब्लाजमिंग, मुखा हिज फेस, अंबुजा लोटस लाइक, भ्रातृन हिज ब्रदर्स, दिक् ऑफ ऑल द डिरेक्शंस, विजये इन द कॉन्क्वेस्ट, अयुंक्त एंगेज, विष्णु ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु, तेज विद द पोटेंसी, उपब्रह्मितान फोर्टिफाइड। Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, upon hearing these words sung by the Supreme Lord, King Yudhishthira became joyful and his face blossomed like a lotus. Thus he sent forth his brothers who were empowered with Lord Vishnu's potency to conquer all directions. Since this has no purport, we will continue further. Text 13. सहदेवं दक्षिणस्याम आदिशत सहसंजयै दिशि प्राचिच्याम नकुलं मुदिच्याम सव्यसाचिनं प्राच्याम मृकोदरं मत्स्यै केकयै सहमाद्रकै। He sent Sahadeva to the south with the Sanjayas, Nakula to the west with the Matsyas, Arjuna to the north with the Kekayas, and Bhima to the east with the Madrakas. देविजित्य नृपान वीरा आजरुर दिग्भ्य ओजस अजात शत्रवे भूरी द्रविणम नृपयक्षते। Translation: After defeating many kings with their prowess, these heroic brothers brought back abundant wealth for Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was intent on performing the sacrifice, O King. Purport: They have just taken this thing from the Krishna book. Purport: Srila Prabhupada writes, it may be noted that by dispatching his younger brothers to conquer in different directions, King Yudhishthira did not actually intend that they declare war with the kings. Actually, the brothers started for different directions to inform the respective kings about King Yudhishthira's intention to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. The kings were thus informed that they were required to pay taxes for the execution of the sacrifice. This payment of taxes to Emperor Yudhishthira meant that the king accepted his subjugation before him. In case of a king's refusal to act accordingly, there was certainly a fight. Thus, by their influence and strength, the brothers conquered all the kings in different directions, and they were able to bring in sufficient taxes and presentations. These were brought before King Yudhishthira by his brothers. वंदेयं श्री गुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदांतिकम्। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So today we have from the chapter The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. The background of this episode I would like to begin with an understanding of a very significant philosophical point. It is touched upon in many cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. The one which I sort of came across yesterday while hearing Gaur Krishna Maharaj's Hindi summarization of the entire Bhagavatam. Why does God act? Why does He do what He does? Because in many places God is described as the non-doer, non-involved. So, in Vidura's questions before Maitreya Muni, Maitreya Muni uses a term, Balavat, like a child. He creates this entire cosmos, and that makes us wonder that how come such a big in the sense it is really gigantic, even just one particular universe with all these galaxies and I don't remember exactly, but I have some scientific information that traveling at the speed of light, it will take a million plus years just to reach the end of this galaxy. I don't know how they calculated it, but that's the accepted norm. And there are at least 100 billion galaxies. Obviously, today so much of information is given in scientific journals and we tend to immediately believe it. Of course, because it is printed in some scientific journal. So taken into consideration that it's certainly a big distance, and here are Vedic statements saying that just effortlessly. So the Balavat part, as I understood it, is effortlessly. Krishna doesn't need to make a big kind of either contemplation or discussion. Like in a common household, if there are four guests coming, immediately there is, well, how should we do, how should we plan, what to cook. So it takes effort. So that's why the scriptures say it is just child's play for Krishna. Alright. Since none of us were present when this whole thing was created, so we just have to make a guess. And today you have two choices. Either the Srimad Bhagavat's way of understanding how this was created, or some so-called scientific way of understanding. But both of them say it's beyond us. Even the greatest of the Bhagavatam authorities, they just give hints, they give some kind of analogies, and ultimately their whole point is, you just can't understand it with your mundane logic alone. The Virat Rupa also features in the second canto. Now this is before Vidura meets Maitreya Muni. I'm just going slightly behind that. So the Acharyas explain, what exactly is a Virat Roop? Virat, huge, big, colossal, humongous. These are the adjectives which are available in the English language. But Sanskrit is very precise. Virat, you cannot make any conjectures. You just have to understand, all the trees are like the hairs on his body. The oceans are like his navel. Oh. The mountain ranges are like the bones of his body. Now, unless you actually go to a mountain range, whether in Europe, America, Asia, anywhere, I just went once to, this is the second highest peak in Maharashtra, after Kalsubai, Bhimashankar. And from that point, where you actually see clouds below you, the only thing which was going on in my mind is, how tiny I am compared to this whole thing. How tiny, how tiny, how tiny. You see a big tree growing there. So this sense of awe and sense of wonder really comes forth. And especially urban living, office life in a cubicle, and if you are just blind to everything, concentrating on your computer screen, nowadays only on your mobile screen, and then getting messages like, oh, you're great, or you're so nice. This is such a travesty of what reality is. We have to come out and check out our size, compare it with these things, and that is why this is mentioned there. Another part of like the mini part of this Virat Roop, you can call, but in the abstract way, very big. Mukha Bahu Urupadebhya. Mukha, mouth. Bahu, arms. Uru, abdomen. Padebhya, feet. The entire society also is called the Lord's body. What society is this? This is the Varnashram Dharma. The Brahmanas are the mouth. The Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the belly, and the assistants, the tertiary, service sector, the legs. So we say, oh, so that means all of them have their position. The entire society also is working like a well-oiled machine. So we find from Vedic literature, tapasvi, austere Brahmanas, chivalrous Kshatriyas, charitable Vaishyas, loyal, hard-working Shudras, that makes the Devi Varnashram part. In Kali Yuga, however, you have proud and arrogant, stubborn Brahmanas, exploitative, or worse, non-violent Kshatriyas, very greedy Vaishyas, and rebellious or grumbling Shudras. That's the antithesis. That's the Asuri Varnashram. It has the shell, it has the outer wrapper, but doesn't have the inner spirit. And the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter purports, Prabhupada makes it very clear. The purpose of Varnashram is elevation. Elevation of society from, in Prabhupada's words, animal consciousness to human, and then the highest development of human consciousness is understanding of devotional service. Nothing less than that is acceptable. Unless society comes to the point of who God is and why should I serve. Many years ago, of course, it doesn't mean that I have elevated to some other level, but I, at one point of time, I was seriously meditating, what does it mean to be God? Now you might say, do you do like that? Well, just theoretically, that what does it mean to be God? Like I'm sitting on a throne and then I'm telling you, you dance, you bring me some liquid to drink, or you cook me something, or you give me some clothes. How nice! Everybody does your bidding, everybody does what they are told. And of course, later I came to this understanding that I could be bored if I just have people just doing what I am telling them to do. there should be some reciprocation. And then afterwards I read that Krishna also is the redeemer. He reaches down and helps the lowest of the persons and elevates them. I say, I can't do that. On the road, you see one beggar or one person with something less, and how difficult it is to just elevate one person. And then of course in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports you understand, the deepest desire of the Lord is to actually serve. Why? Because that's where service is the real deal, as they say in the West. That is where the juice is all concentrated. Why are we averse? In fact, we are surprised why so much stress on service, and the Shastra is surprised, how can you live without service? How can you live this artificial life of exploitation where, just theoretically speaking, if one party is exploiting, the other is exploited, one of them is happy. We are not happy with the whole deal. But at least one of them is saying that I am happy. But look at yourself with this material, look at around. Both parties are unhappy. Those who exploit are unhappy and those who are exploited are also unhappy. That's why this particular thing of which Prabhupada once said, divide society. He told his disciples, divide society. That also was one big confusion in my mind. Hey, we are talking of unity. Well, everybody is talking of unity, and how come Prabhupada is saying divide? So then it took some time to understand that just like we have a team here, every Sunday, all of those who come for the Sunday festival, just before 12, there are about 10-12 volunteers. All they do is just remove these chairs and sweep the whole floor, temple floor clean, and then mop it up. And if you come before about 10 minutes before 12, you will find there is one leader there, and he just tells, okay, four of you clean, two of you mop, four of you just remove these chairs. That is division. Division doesn't mean that you make people enemies. It is a false notion that all kinds of divisions are only meant for disunity. Here is, everybody is united, just like the five fingers of our hand. They are all united when you have to grasp something. If one finger, I remember one of my, this small pinky was not properly functioning. It had some, it would not bend. And somebody shook my hand. It was terrible. Now shaking hand is a sign of friendship. You shake hands and how are you? So you're like, oh, why? One finger is not cooperating. When it's supposed to bend, it is not bending. When it's supposed to straighten, it is not straightening. So one person in a unit, if it's not working properly, affects the whole unit. So therefore, Prabhupada's understanding of dividing society was, understand everybody's needs and provide them accordingly. So, two words come in the shloka. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. Here it is, the second is a kartaram. While chanting we just say kartaram because the a is silent. Vidhi, understand Arjun, I am a kartaram, I am not the doer. And avyayam, these two words also quite significant. And thanks to Bhurujan Prabhu's gloss on the Bhagavad Gita shlokas and purports through his surrender unto me, it has become much more accessible now. I just want to spend some time on that. So Varnashram is created by Krishna, but Krishna doesn't place anyone anywhere. It's not like there is a quota that, okay, the first 2,000 birds today will be all Brahmanas, then the next 20,000 Kshatriyas, then 4 lakh Vaishyas and 10 crore Shudras. No. He doesn't place anyone. Why should he? Just the previous verse he has said, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. I reciprocate. So, Krishna doesn't place anyone anywhere. It is just like your Chhatrapati Shivaji terminus. Before the train has come, it is a whole mass of about 1500 people with their luggages and everything. The train comes, you will find a certain class going to the general class, certain going to the sleeper class, certain going to the AC class. Just because the AC coach comes near you, you cannot jump in. Right? You may say, well, it just came near me, I just hop in. It's your ticket which decides where you should go. Even if that person who has booked his AC, A, B or whatever, sleeper, 2-tier or 3-tier, even if he comes late, not after the train has left, but before he comes 10 minutes late, it is kept for him. He has purchased the ticket. By purchasing a ticket, you have decided which particular coach to board. Similarly, by choosing a particular set or a combination of modes of material nature, you choose whether you should be number 1, number 2, number 3, 4 or even beyond that. If you are in the first 4, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, chances are you will quickly come to the point of the goal of my life is to serve Krishna. Why? Not because Krishna is in need of my fruits or flowers. I need to be happy. The goal of a hand is to pick up that sweet and put it in the mouth. The goal of the mouth and the teeth and the saliva and the tongue is to chew it, push it down. The goal of that alimentary canal and esophagus and whatever you call it is to push it to the stomach. Once it reaches the stomach, the loop is complete. All the parts of the body have done their duty. And that's why in India we say, Pet ka sawal hai. Of all the limbs of the body, you say, why are you working so hard? For the sake of my stomach. Now we have to use our common sense. The Bhagavatam doesn't say you need Bhakti Shastri to understand this. All these years, your stomach, has it been selfish any time? Keeping these energy of the sweets or the rabdi or the whatever you have eaten. In fact, hands work, legs work, eyes work, all our limbs work. But after a full meal, we say, I don't have any energy, I just want to relax. While you are relaxing, the stomach is working overtime. Doing what? Distributing that same energy which you gave so that it reaches every last corner of the body. Have you ever wondered that why my fingers look exactly the same? They match. Why one doesn't grow like this and one still lags behind? There is somebody's intelligence. The brain's intelligence, but the energy comes from the stomach. So the Bhagavatam says similarly, why do you so cringe that Krishna should be served, Krishna should be served? All your life you are serving your stomach, and the stomach is selfless. The root of a tree is selfless. It gives forth all energy right up to the smallest twig, flower, branch, fruit, whatever. Similarly, Krishna is like that. Tathaiva aharanam at Chutta Ijja. The stomach is to the body, the root, what it is, the tree. In that way, Krishna is to the cosmos. Serving him is not a charitable deed you are doing. Okay, I'll go to the temple and give him something. No. It is your need. Of course, for this intelligence, it takes this whole Varnashram setup. Because it's a gradual process. Slowly, 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 you understand that it is in giving that I am receiving more. By keeping things, I am a miserably foolish idiot. Just like Prabhupada said, the hand, if it keeps the laddu with it for 4 hours, the hand gets sticky, the body doesn't get nourishment, both are miserable. So, Krishna doesn't put anybody. He is like three things he does. As the Paramatma, as the impartial super soul, he reciprocates with the desires, he remains the non-doer, and most importantly, does not directly reward anyone. Obviously, that means if Krishna doesn't reward anyone directly, Krishna also doesn't punish anyone directly. Why should we accuse Krishna of not doing this or doing that? Especially in India, we have our Hollywood, Bollywood culture, which says, "Hey, Bhagwan, ye tune kya kiya?" Isn't it? You hear it all the time. Why have you done this? Why have you taken my money? Why have you reduced me like this? No. Akartaram. I am not the doer. Avyayam. Now we come to the second part. In this thing, Krishna is saying, I am unchangeable. That sentence really mystified me for a long time. Understand me to be the non-doer, being unchangeable. Remember that verse? Chaturvarnyam. How can he be unchangeable? How can he be a kartaram, non-doer, because he is unchangeable? Another gloss from Vrijan Prabhu. Krishna, when he comes right now, is a very it's a very ghastly kind of incident happening, at least for Jarasandh. He's going to be killed. In fact, the chapter is entitled The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. And Krishna is very happy. The translation here is, upon hearing these words sung by the Supreme Lord. Very strange, isn't it? Krishna spoke to Arjuna, yet it is called Bhagavad Gita. It's a song. These are only four or five verses which Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That also is called Gita. Because, in a sense, in the spiritual world, all words are actually songs. Check it out in your own life. If you come whistling and singing to office, everybody says, "Hey, what's happening? Very happy today?" Obviously, it means nobody comes to the office in such a nice mood. You are supposed to be grumpy, especially on a Monday morning. But if you are singing, people say, now we have bathroom singers, especially if it's a good bath, nice winter day and a hot bath, you feel like singing. Imagine a whole existence based on this kind of happiness. Everybody is singing. That's what Brahmaji is so inspired to sing, that katha ganam. He said, there is no katha, there is no gadya there in the spiritual world. We can't imagine, but just try to imagine. Therefore, Brahma Samhita gives this kind of hints. Katha ganam, natyam gamanam. There is no simple walk. People are just gliding or just making all these dancing movements. He just wants to make sure that you understand it's a blissful place. Very blissful place. So here it is, Gitam. So Krishna has approved what Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to do. And Yudhishthira Maharaj became very joyful. His face blossomed like a lotus. And therefore, Krishna is very much involved here. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, I would like to do this. Now this Rajasuya, Raja, the king of the sacrifices, Krishna made Yudhishthira Maharaj do it three times. Nobody has done that. And why? Because ultimately, those who are godly by nature, they know that Yudhishthira Maharaj doesn't need to show off this kind of thing. But Krishna also needs to tell those who are yet to become his devotees how happy he is to glorify his own devotees. How much he wants this whole cosmos to understand how I love this person. Every day we sing in the Guru Puja, Ebe Jash Ghushok Tribhuvana. Oh dear Gurudev, let your glory fill the 14 worlds, Tribhuvan, all over. Now comes this point. Why should Krishna get involved? So the explanation is here, is given like that. Krishna is not elevated by practicing Varnashram. Varnashram is meant for elevating us, all of us. But Krishna doesn't need that. Even after following, and Burijan Prabhu gives a very nice example. If I am the boss, and I have a subordinate, if he does something good, I say, good job, well done, here is your bonus. So I gave him some money, or whatever, a gift. Strictly speaking, both of us are changed. There is a vikar. If somebody steps on my toe, and I say, hey, dikhta nahi kya, idiot, can't you see? Now, I just shouted at somebody, in the train maybe, again there is a vikar. With one person I was benevolent, with one person I am angry. So you and me throughout the day, we keep on having this kind of vikar. Vikar just means transformation. We have to. We are conditioned souls. We will be changed. You are a surgeon. The surgery is successful. You are very happy. You are a student. You pass the exam. You are successful. You are very happy. There is a change. There is a vikar. You lose something. You are a businessman. There is a big transaction loss. And you are lamenting. That is a vikar. Please understand carefully. This is what never happens to Krishna. It never happens. We speak of somebody saying, I lost my land, it was my inheritance, I lost my gold ring, I lost my sari, I lost my trousers, I lost my shoes, I lost my job. This entire material world, even if Krishna loses, is this bothered. He says, he has so many, that's why. No, it doesn't work like that. Somebody may have 12 cars, but if he loses one, he has that thing constantly biting his conscience. Oh, why did that happen? So see the surprising thing here. False proprietors, they get vikar, and the real proprietor doesn't have any vikar. The one who really owns everything, he doesn't get changed. So this is how we summarize that Krishna's dealings with his devotees, he acts in perfect Varnashram Dharma understanding because he created it. He knows it. But he doesn't place anyone in it. He, as a super soul, he reciprocates, he remains the non-doer and does not directly reward or punish anyone. But he may say, wait a minute. Every day we see punishments and rewards meted out. Somebody got success, somebody got failure, somebody is sick, somebody is happy, somebody is sad. Who gives this kind of punishments then? Krishna says, at a conditioned level, they are only given by material nature. She also is introduced as a doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. She is the one. Why is she called she? She is the energy. She is the potency. Krishna is the potent. So therefore this male-female thing, not like the male-female thing which we see here, but just for the sake of understanding, one is the potency in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language, one is the potency and other is the possessor thereof. That's how we wrote. There is a potency and her possessor. Simple terms, sunshine and the sun. The shine is the potency, the planet is the, or the sun, more correctly, the personality of the sun planet, he is the possessor. In the end, I was trying to make some connection of Krishna's involvement. He is very involved here in the Darchaya sacrifice. I found I thought like that. I'm just posing as an example in front of you. See if you like it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was like dragged into some family thing. And this is what I am going to discuss. This is Antalila chapter 9. It begins with Mahaprabhu's activities in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Krishna, but he is a totally different person in the sense he is a sannyasi. He is renounced. Krishna showed his beauty, his fame, power, knowledge, wealth. He also showed his renunciation when he gave up his own family, the Yadus. But outwardly taking the garb of a sannyasi is something very unusual. And that's what Krishna does when he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami describes, during the day, chanting, dancing, darshan of Lord Jagannath, that absorbed his mind completely. And in the night time, talking with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami about separation from Krishna. How did the gopis live with that separation? How they experienced it? These were the two things he did. All day dancing, chanting, darshan, and all night discussing with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. And amazingly, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, while he was staying in Jagannath Puri, he's staying in Kashi Mishralaya, Kashi Mishra's residence, a very small room most of you must have seen when you visit Jagannath Puri. Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Vyasdev, Shukdev Goswami, these are the personalities who would come and visit him. People from all over the material world practically, from all the upper planets, they even say serpentine people, Uragalok, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Devta, all kinds of people would take the garb of ordinary looking Odia people or Indian people, whatever. I mean, if they have so much of Siddhi, why can't they disguise themselves? But they all used to come, and specifically says, dressed as very ordinary people. And they would demand the Lord's presence. And seeing their loud chanting, the Lord would come out and encourage them, chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this would continue almost every day. So things were very happy. Suddenly one day, a person comes and says, one of your devotees is going to be killed by the king. So he said, what? He said, yes. The prince has become angry. He's called Badajana. Big guy or whatever. Big boss. Badajana. And Badajana is very angry. And he has decreed, he has issued a dictate that this person, Gopinath Pattanayak, should be raised on a changa. Now, changa is an old torture device. There was a platform, a raised platform, and below that, swords would be kept in this kind of position with the pointed end up. And the person would be thrown from that upper platform, again put back, again thrown. How long can you last like that? So it's like a very torturous death. So Mahaprabhu says, so what am I supposed to do? I'm a sannyasi. So another person comes. Oh, this Gopinath Pattanayak is a son of Bhavananda Rai and all this family are your devotees, so please do something for them. So Mahaprabhu says,
how come you are involving me in this? Well, what should I do? What exactly happened? So then one person said, okay, I'll tell the story. This man is a collector for a place called Malajathya Dandapath. That's some region there. That's Odia name. He's a collector. So Mahaprabhu says, so what does he do? Well, he collects taxes and, well, when it's time to give back to the king, he didn't give much of that money. So Mahaprabhu said, so? So the king sent a message that, how come you are cheating me like that? You are not giving me back the whole money. It is about 2 lakh kodis. We say kodi mol, kodi, kodi. I don't know whether it's a big amount or whatever. 2 lakh kodis. And Prabhupada says a kodi is like a cent or a penny. It's not a very high denomination. So the king's messenger said that he lost his money. He doesn't have it. So he says, what do you mean he doesn't have it? He has to pay me back. So they say, he has a good eye for horses. He's a good purchaser. He's a good connoisseur of horses. He knows them. So he is offering that I have 10 or 12 very good horses. You accept them as part payment. And later I will give more, if there is any backlog. So the king says, alright, I just need the money this way or that way. Now just see, it's a very mundane kind of transaction. I think this kind of thing may be happening every day around the world, millions of times. Government inspectors, officers not paying back their money to the government or whatever. But since it's coming in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has some significance. And that's why we are discussing it here. One of the princes came to negotiate. And he said, you know, like when you have to buy something, how much is this? 25 rupees. See, 8 rupees is enough. You say, hey, what do you mean? It's 25. How can you say like that? I purchased for 20. 5 rupees my profit. What can I do? This is how normally people bargain. So he gave a drastically reduced estimation of those 10 horses. And of course, Gopinath was not happy. So, the prince said, this is the price. The rest of it you have to pay back in cash. Now the king had some kind of a habit. He would do something like that. It just says that he used to look up and look down. Some kind of idiosyncrasies. You know, people have this kind of quirky habit. Now Gopinath did something which normally we are not supposed to do. He said, my horses are better than you. At least they don't make their heads turn like that. And that was the last straw. The prince was fuming. He came back and he said, straight away take him to the changa. Now non-payment of dues and such a big punishment, they don't really match. But the king got mad. The prince got mad. So that's how the story is. That's how Gopinath Patnaik found himself all tied up, ready, just one signal, and he goes down. A third messenger came and said, Mahaprabhu, Vaninath Rai and his family also arrested. Mahaprabhu said, what am I supposed to do? You people, he said, what does this guy do, Gopinath Patnaik? He said, no, he's your devotee, he's your pure devotee. He says, I know, he takes his money and spends it on dancing girls and he wants to enjoy government's property. No one should be doing that. Government's property, like a Brahmana's property, should be respected. So Mahaprabhu tries to allay their problems. A fourth messenger comes and says, any time he could be put down now. So Mahaprabhu says, hey, I'm leaving this place. I'm going to Alalnath. I just want some peace of mind. I just want to chant Hare Krishna and be peaceful. Sounds similar? I just came here to chant Hare Krishna and be a devotee. And you have put me through all this blah, 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 whatever. So, Mahaprabhu says, a sannyasi can beg for five kaudis, five gandas, it's the word used there. I can go before somebody and say, give me five something.
You mean to say I should go and meet the king and tell him, give me 2 lakh of that? Because one devotee of mine has made some mistake? So they said, yeah, but he's your pure devotee and he's very troubled. Mahaprabhu said, pray to Lord Jagannath. He will do the needful. At that time, a messenger is sent, Harichandra Patra. Patras are very common in Odisha. The big ones are the Mahapatras. Smaller ones are the Sada Patras, whatever. So he goes to the king and says that your eldest prince is killing Gopinath Patnaik. So the king says, kill? I just told him take his money. I didn't tell him to kill him. So no, but you told him by hook or by crook, take his money. So he is using the hook and the crook both. He is killing him. So he said, no, I didn't want him to be killed. So it's just like, you know, a firing squad is told, on your marks. Before he says the word fire, somebody says, stop. There is a new thing which has come. He is not the right person. Somebody else is to be shot. So something like that happened. As he is about to be put down, the king's message came, don't kill him. It's alright. So at least Gopinath Patnaik is relieved. And then Mahaprabhu asks him, by the time this was happening, what was Vaninath doing? So they say, well, he was chanting on his fingers, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And every time he would chant 1,000 times, he would make a mark, a scar on his body. So all the time, he was chanting. So he hint that whenever we have changa like thing, we have to keep on chanting. And Mahaprabhu was very happy. At least he was chanting. This is very good, very good. So Gopinath Patnaik is relieved of his death, imminent death. And Kashi Mishra is owner of that house where Mahaprabhu specifically said, I want a home which is closer to the temple and also secluded. Something we all know, right? We want to be near the festival, but not so much that the sound should not be troubling us. Easy access to the Prasadam hall, but the fumes and the noise should not come. So, sannyasis, brahmacharis have a similar kind of thing, that close to the temple hall, but not so far away. So Kashi Mishra is such a big person. The king used to come every day and massage him because he knew he was a pure devotee. So Kashi Mishra tells him that, why for a small thing your prince ordered that Gopinath Patnaik be put to death? And Mahaprabhu was very angry. He said, what? He said, yes. Mahaprabhu is saying, I might leave Puri and just go to Allahnath and stay there. And this makes King Pratapruddha say, wait a minute, 2 lakh kaudis or 2 lakh kahanas, I can give up my whole kingdom, but please don't let Mahaprabhu go away. He says, yes, but then this has happened. He says, no problem, I'll do the needful. So he calls Gopinath Patnaik and says, hey, what's your problem? He says, yeah, I just have some deficit. All right, deficit, pardoned. What else? The salary also is billed. Okay, doubled. What else? So, bam, 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 he just gets everything and you feel almost like, hey, it's like a fairy tale ending. But Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami cautions. Bhavanand Rai and his family come and they say, my lord, just like you protected all the Pandavas, you have protected us. And so Mahaprabhu is like, all right, but don't sort of misuse this mercy which Jagannath gave. Again he reiterates, why should you spend government money? You have your own salary, you do things properly, don't overspend. So that was a lesson and everybody agrees. And then Kashi Mishra tells Mahaprabhu that I told the king that since you were a bit unhappy staying here and you could leave. So therefore, he said, all right, I will help Gopinath Patnaik. Mahaprabhu said, you use my name? What have you done? You have used my name to bargain with the king? He said, no, my lord, it's not like that. I said, no, this is not proper. So, finally, it's a long chapter, almost 114 or 120 verses. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it's very deep. You won't be able to understand so easily as to why Mahaprabhu behaved the way he behaved. I just took this small thing from, because it is connected to Krishna getting involved in mundane affairs, like a so-called materialistic situation where a king wants to become the Rajasuya performer. Why should God get involved? He does, because they are his devotees. Similarly, in this case, although he externally, the words used by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami are affectionate anger. There is anger, but it is nicely coated with affection. So, Krishna does this again and again and again. Whenever he comes in this material world, for the person who doesn't have a relationship with him, he is the impartial super soul, just giving you what you want. But that line in the Bhagavad Gita, ye bhajanti tu, that tu is very important. Tu is that but. There is nobody who is dear to me. There is nobody who is my enemy. But. Now what does but mean? Ye bhajanti, those who are my worshippers, mam bhaktya, they are my devotees. Mai te teshu chapyaham. It's like, you are a devotee of Krishna. Mai te teshu, which means Krishna is declaring the word, I am devoted to him or her. That's the understanding. You are devoted to me, so I am devoted to you. And that sweetness of this interaction is the goal of the path of bhakti. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for being such a patient audience. Hare Krishna.